Lessons from the Lave. I wish it was a live edition. We are here for the next few weeks only, doing a solo edition. Therefore, we will combine both Parsha Shlach and Baal Oscha, a message for both Parshios. And Mirtz Hashem will be joining the Kobi Kolel soon in live presentations. I want to dedicate the Shir L'Zecher Nishmas first, a wonderful Eshes Chayil from our community, Margalit Chaviva Bas Bar Binyamin, who passed away a few days ago from a horrible, horrible bout of cancer that she had been fighting. And she should be a Melitz Yosher to her wonderful family and her young children, Rachman Litzlan, that she leaves, and her husband, a wonderful, wonderful friend. And the Rabbanu Shalom should give the zchuyos that she had and the Yisurim generally that you feel that those are physical. She was one of spiritual Yisurim. It bothered her so much as she told her Rav not be able to daven, not be able to go to shul, not be able to go to shurim. Should just be a Melitz Yosher. I dedicate this year also the Yurtzeit this week of my grandmother, Chana Livshe Bas Rebel Dov. Next week, my other grandmother, Fegu Ras Bas Klomas Kalman. These two women, the matriarchs of our family. And I often think, Dafka this year, I think to myself how proud they would be to have great-grandchildren serving our country, one serving in the army on the Lebanon border, and one volunteering in the cancer ward in a hospital. And Baruch Hashem, the great schus that we had as I'm sitting here with the chumash of my grandfather in here in Eretz Yisrael, how much they chalished to be part of that. I do believe that they would be very proud. In this week's parsha, Parsha Shlach, we dovetail really last week's parsha, as we know, as the smichos of the parshios. And the smichos of the parshios that is generally spoken about is the Lashon Hara that's spoken about Miriam. And now they didn't learn their lesson, the Lashon Hara, on Eretz Yisrael. In some ways, of course, it's far greater, for we suffer that Lashon Hara until today. Our commemoration of Tisha B'Av is not only a day of the Batei Mikdashos being destroyed, but a day of Bechia Bechinam. But I think that there is another great comparison, because in that incident, Moshe Rabbeinu is given the greatest title that Moshe Rabbeinu ever wanted. That Moshe was onov mikol adam. That Moshe Rabbeinu lo chein avdi Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu's name is mentioned but once in the Haggadah, for he didn't want it to be about him. He was such an onov. It is only mentioned when we say v'yaminu b'Hashem uve Moshe avdo. However, we see that the parsha starts off with shlach lecha, because the Rabbeinu Shalom clearly knows that this is not going to go well. There's many different perushim, I believe we shared in previous years, of why shalach lecha, that ledatcha, because, says Rashi, ani eini mitzav lecha. I don't know if it's a good idea for you to go. But nonetheless, all the tribes set out to go, and it lists every single one, Mati Ephraim Hoshea bin Nun. And when it speaks about Hoshea ben Yun, so we learn that he gets a very special bracha. The pasuk tells us that the Ribbono Sholom recognizes this task that is at hand, and Moshe Rabbeinu realizes the potential of it being one that is going to be quite difficult. Vayishlach otam Moshe latur et haaretz, el eretz Kanaan. Vayomer aleihem, Elu Negev Alita Malahar. He gives them specific instructions what they should see. And at the end of the discussion of the names, it says Elu Shemos Anoshim Asher Shalach Moshe Latur Et Haaretz Vayikra Moshe LaHoshea Benun Yehoshua. Rashi comments, why did he change his name here? Hitpalel Alav Yo Yeshua Scha. The name now is added from Hoshea with Hashem's name, the Yud and the Hey. Me Eitzas Ma'atzas HaMeraglim. That he should be protected from the Eitzah of the Meraglim. The Meraglim, of course, will be one and against the Shita, that Eretz Yisrael will be a wonderful place. And tooth and nail, Yehoshua will fight this. But many of the Farshim ask a seemingly simple question. If Moshe Rabbeinu knew that there would be a problem over here, as obviously is clear from the Pasuk, then why doesn't he bless all of them? And certainly, why doesn't he bless the famous Kalev? We know that Kalev gets his own blessing because Kalev recognizes the fact that he, the relative, of course, of Moshe Rabbeinu, is not going to be an easy task, Latur et Aretz. And even though these were the greatest of the greats, the heads of the tribes, they would be wearing different kind of glasses. The glasses that was ma'ayin in every detail of the land. Latur et Aretz come from the word tour. They should be tourists who always love everything. And they were not. When one visits Eretz Yisrael, I always have said that Parsha Shlach should be the Parsha that we concentrate on Eretz Yisrael. For the greatest kapara for the chait of the Meraglim is our love and joy for Eretz Yisrael. And it is great to be a tourist. It is great to visit Eretz Yisrael. Many have not been able to come here. And now, Baruch Hashem, things are getting, quote-unquote, back to normal. And when you see the land, especially if you haven't been here in a few years, you feel so good about it. Similar to the beginning of Parshas Bahaloscha, Aaron HaKohen, every time he lit the menorah, the Sfas Emma says, that's why the Pasuk seemingly adds words, Vayaskein, because the Vayaskein was the fact that Aaron HaKohen, Loshina, wasn't just Loshina. He had his slavas. He loved it. And that's the way that the Meraglim should have looked at things. But Kalev took a different path. Kalev goes on a detour to Maris HaMachpelah. He goes to Davin by the mamas, by the papas. He goes to Davin, of course, to Hashem, but with the Zchus Avos. But we still have to answer, why is it? So it's interesting that many of the Mefarshim comment that, like the Chizkuni, that really Yehoshua ben Nun's name was changed a long time ago. And in fact, in the parish of the Chet HaEgel, Kisiso, it says that his name was Yehoshua. So what's going on over here? So a simple answer is that it just refers to what his name will be in the future. That's a possibility. But there is this idea that in fact this was his name. His name was Yehoshua, and it was changed a while back. The Ramban comments back in Shemos, Yud Zayin Tes, Nirmikan, Vayomer, Moshe El Yehoshua. Nirmikan, Ki Moshe Miyom Haviyosu Lefanov, Hayakora Oiso Yehoshua. When Ki'ilu he was appointed, anointed to be the new leader of Klal Yisrael, he changed his name. And we know that this is common when generals get to their position, names are often changed, and we know, of course, name changing is nothing new to us. Avram is, of course, changed to Avraham. When Yosef becomes the viceroy, Safnas Paneach. Yaakov, we know the Mefarshim tell us why his name Yisrael is not used, but his name is changed, Sarai to Sarah. And the Ramban says, V'chein kasav v'yishma Yishua zakolam. Again, Lamed Bet Yud Zayin, Yehoshua's name is used again. The kasav shamar binyan ha-meraglim, however, when it came to the union of the meraglim in our parasha, v'yikra Moshe Lehoshia binyan Yehoshua. So what's going on over here? Says the Ramban. The Midrash says, quotes the Midrash, Moshe changed Yehoshua's name in this instance to make it into a tefillah. Hodia ki zeh Hoshea ben Nun asher bachur b'meraglim hu asher karo Moshe Yehoshua. And as the Gemara says in Sota and Daf Lamed Dalet Lamed Beis, she'amar Yeho Ya Yehoshiach mi'etzas ha'meraglim. Lagid ki bi'avor zeh ha'maisa shaya Moshe yaduahu. Moshe Rabbeinu realized when he named him all the way back in Sefer Shemos what would happen with the Meraglim. But now he would daven over it. And now in public, he explains the name change. a very interesting idea. The Tur HaAruch comments and says his name was changed so that he shouldn't be singled out. People shouldn't know him. When they're calling him Yehoshua, they won't say Hoshea, and then the Canaanites would turn around and say, wait a minute, we know this guy. This is the guy that killed all of Moloch. So maybe that's a reason as well. The Rashban shares as well this idea. But we know that there is something special here, unique, when it came to this name. The Kli Yakar has a beautiful explanation. The Kli Yakar says, after explaining why is the name changed, so he says that this is difficult to understand. Vayomer, Vayeshomer, Lefisha Yehoshua, Hayat Talmidav, Hekpid Alav, Shelo Yidach Tishvilo. Moshe Rabbeinu realized that whatever happens to Yehoshua is going to be a reflection on Moshe more than any of the other of the spies that went, because he is a Talmud. And everybody's going to turn around and say, this is the Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Yeshomrim and others say that Yehoshua was from Shevet Yosef. Shehevia the Bas Ochav Al Kain Hayyira Shalo Yelech Biderach Zekeno. He shouldn't go in this small way of Yosef. Ki mitam ze lo hizkir bo lamata Yosef ubigde ben susya lehazkir lamata Yosef. Yosef had great midos, but was punished for the midah of speaking lashon hara against his brothers to his father. And maybe that would affect Yehoshua years and years later. So he says, this makes no sense, because if he was worried about Yosef, and that Yosef had sinned once, and therefore maybe it would affect the offspring. So Gadi was from, you have Menashe and Ephraim. He was from Shevet Ephraim, which is also from it, right? Because Levi was left out of this, so they needed another Shevet. So they use Ephraim and Menashe. Shabam Shevet Ephraim. Hagodom mi Menashe. Loshina tafkido mistam gabkotos. So he gets different reasons maybe why. Or he may know the Berachah Shel Yaakov, ki Hashem chok lehektim es Ephraim. Ephraim was first, so maybe that's okay. He had more Kedusha. Oh, lefisha nikra aviv Menashe. Why was his name Menashe? Al shem ki nashuni Elokim al kol beis avi. V'chishev Moshe shemistama kol zaru shachacho et mais avi. Menashe comes from the word mishuni, to forget, my father's house. There's a great discourse of why for all the years he was viceroy, he didn't call to his father until much, much later on. And maybe there would be a shtickle punishment over here for that. So all these reasons are certainly so beautiful in their understanding of the special and unique bracha. But we want to bring it down to our level so we can relate it to our own lives. And here we quote the words of the Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim says that Kalev was protected because he davened by the Kivri Avos. But he says a fascinating idea of Chavetz Chaim. But when he came back, there actually was three reports. We always thought there was two. There was, of course, the report that was negative against Eretz Yisrael, what we are being punished for until today. There was Yehoshua's report that was quite positive. And there was Kalev's report, which was very neutral. And we often sometimes act like this, not to get in trouble. We don't know which side to take. Yeah, I see it both ways. That could be. So actually, Kalev wasn't in trouble, because both sides didn't have anything bad to say about him. He was neutral. The bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Yehoshua was actually not the bracha of when he goes, but when he came back. Because when it's 10 against 1, right, we're leaving out the neutral party, the Switzerland, they wanted to kill him. That was the davening that he had. That was the davening. Oftentimes, this is a tremendous mitzvah to have, a difficult mitzvah to have. Standing up for what you believe in. Yehoshua was going to be a leader, and a true leader shows and gets up and says, this is wrong. I don't care how many of you think this way. This is Mechemesh al Torah. This is the wrong way to look at things. And where did he get this idea, the stamina to be able to stand up, says the great Zeresh Shimshon or Rav Nachmani, Schus Yogin Aleinu, for those that learn his Sfarim, his Mimers, will be blessed with Kol Mishal Yibeinu L'Tova, whatever they want. He interviewed a while back Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Is it true that your father, and I believe your uncle, learned this? He says, yes, yes, it's a skula. So let's read the words of the great Zeresh Shimshon. He said, what's going on over here? Why only Yehoshua? What is Lohosif HaYud? And what does it have to do with being saved? So first he speaks of the words of the great Zohar. Kulam Anoshim Kulo Zakayim Havei Veresh Yisrael Haval Avo Einan Dvorov. He says that the name, says the Mekubalim, I believe, based on the Zohar, that Hashem's name, Yud-Heh, Eino Shoyre al Balei Gaiva. The gematria of Gaiva is Yud-Heh. The holy Shalu Anoshim Chatu Michemas HaGaiva. The Yisod of the Chet was that they were Bal Gaivas, these great Nesiyim. Since Ra'u She'avru Mihem HaGadol Lios Rosha. They knew they were the greatest of the great. They were the head of each of them. They weren't picked out by a lottery. They were the greatest of their Shvatim. And they knew who they were. And it was the Gaiva, which we'll discuss momentarily, that got to them. And therefore, Moshe, in his infinite wisdom, said, I need to add the name of Hashem, the Yud and the Hey. So Rav Goldach is fond of saying, Minametza Karasi Yah. Yah is the combination of, as we say, we have Yud Al Yud Hey Simonim in the Haggadah, the past and the present. We combined, right? Ya'aleh V'yavo, right? Ya'aleh. And we put a Yud in front of it. It's what they did do. Ya'alu. When we say Hashulchan, we're talking about this in the present. It's the combination of the now with what was. And maybe that's something we could add here as well. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you got to live in the present. Don't think about the past. Don't think about it. It's not going to help you who I am. It's who you have to be. Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Ba'aloiska is called this great Anav. But an Anav isn't the person that doesn't recognize what he is. That's not what an Anav is. If Meir Tursky has a beautiful idea that he brings out, and he explains what is a Bal Gaiva. Someone once went to Rav Yoshev, and they said to him, there's someone who's a great Talmud Chacham, but he's a big Bal Gaiva. What do we do with such a person? So Rav Yoshev says, either you don't understand the definition of a Talmud Chacham, or you don't understand the definition of a Bal Gaiva. You can't have both. Rav Tversky says that the Torah alludes to the Isser of being haughty. The Torah in Devarim 17:20 speaks about this, that our heart should not become haughty. But he tells over, Ramban explains this, the greatness is only, of course, due to Hashem. The Smag, in enumerating his mitzvahs, when he was done, he speaks about a vision that he received in a dream, that he was told, behold, you have forgotten the fundamental mitzvah, not to forget Hashem and become haughty. And therefore, in his revised work, the Smag includes it as mitzvah number, Losase, number 64. The Talmud Dvora, Rav Moshe Cordovera, characterized anova, humility, as the obvious antithesis to haughtiness. as it is the key to all correct midos. With this, we can understand why Moshe, Anuf Mikol Adam, Vayamat Moshe, Eved Hashem, the way that he dies is the Eved Hashem, is the ultimate Anuf. Said, if you're really my student, you need to have the opposite effect. You must be an Anuf, and you can't have the other thing, because it's the opposite, is the fundamental of the Torah, not to be haughty. But says Rav Meir Tursky, that a Baal Gaiva is not necessarily the one who exaggerates his abilities and accomplishments. He said his Rebbe, the great Rav Gershon Zaks, which goes along the lines of his illustrious Machatonim, the Chavetz Chaim, says that person is out of touch with reality. The Baal Gaiva can be entirely accurate in his assessment of his abilities and accomplishments, which makes sense by the Shvatim, as we were talking about, the Rosh Shvatim. He errs in feeling my strength and my might of my hand, as the Pasuk says in Devarim. My abilities and accomplishments are because of me. The Baal Gaiva feels independent, autonomous, and hence boastful and proud. Another, by contract, appreciates the religious mandate for human effort and initiative. He knows about Hashtadlus. He understands Hashem endowed him with the abilities that he possesses, that sustains him, that provides him opportunities, crowns him with success. But the Anuv also can be entirely accurate in his assessment of his abilities and accomplishment, and recognize it's absolutely dependent on the Rabbanu Shalom. And therefore, he's unassuming and modest. That is the true definition of what an Anuv is. Not someone who doesn't recognize who he is and says, no, me, who are you talking about? Famously, there was a story going around this last week where somebody rolled down this window and saw his son and wanted to tell him something. He said, Moshe, come here. And where Moshe finds him, turns around and says, yes, can I help you? The person was so embarrassed. He said, no, my son. And he really thought he was talking to him. Moshe Feinstein recognized that you gave me these great abilities, but other people also have great abilities. They weren't asked to be Moshe Feinstein. I was asked to, and I have to leave to a higher level. The Zera Shimshon is telling us how careful we have to be. You're appointed, and you're so chashuv. And now they knew that if the report is good about Eretz Yisrael, they're not going to have their jobs anymore. This is a great challenge. One that only Yehoshua was able to accomplish. Very difficult, but reality. And therefore, Zera Shimshon ends off that he davened for him dafka, not for Caliph. He needed it more. Ve'yish Moshe odav me'od. Something that wasn't needed as much by Caliph. He goes on and he explains different reasons why the differences in Caliph with he realized that Yehoshua himself was taking over the task of Shevet Levi. But all in all, I think that this is a very important lesson. A lesson of emun and faith in the Rabbanu Shalom, something that my grandmother very much embodied. When I spoke it at a Levaya, at the young age that I was, I spoke about Rav Tzvi Yehuda's idea of emuna. We call it pashut emuna. It's nothing pashut about it. The person recognizes that everything comes to the Rabbanu Shalom, and we have to thank Hashem for every single day. And when we see something wrong, we say something. We don't let it go. We don't become parav and say, oh, I don't want to get hurt, so I'm not going to say anything. This was the great quality that was shared by the great Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu, given over to his son. From Parsha to Parsha of Baal Oscha, we see the great leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, leading us to Parsha Shlach, where he was able to foretell what would happen, and therefore blesses his student, for he shouldn't be a Baal Gaiva. And that maybe is the key in what the Avera was. We should be zeicha to get the messages of Parsha Shlach, concentrate on the beauty of Eretz Yisrael, should be zeicha when we saw the love of Eretz Yisrael, Rabbanu Shalom should say we have to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Amen.